This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Perfectly clear when you're a guest in my home. You gotta come to me empty-handed. I said no gifts, your presence is presence enough. And I already had too much stuff. So how do you dare disobey?
Welcome to I Said No Gifts. I'm Bridger Weiniger. We're in the backyard. The podcast is humming along already. Everything is wonderful. Annalise is here. I'm here. I did open the mailbox earlier, and I had received a thank you note for something I did 3 years ago. Am I in danger? It's hard to say. The thank you note was from a real estate agent, which adds a whole other layer of fear. We're going to have to just watch how all of this develops. We'll keep our eye on it and just, you know, we'll have to wait and see. Let's put the worries aside. Let's put our concerns aside. For God's sake, let's get into the podcast. Everybody loves today's guest. I love today's guest. It's Drew Carey.
Drew, hi.
Welcome to I Said No Gifts.
Yeah, nice to be here. It's just as I imagine it. It's beautiful back here.
We've got some sort of helicopter. I'm looking at it now. The birds are chirping.
There's a lot of crime in this neighborhood.
Mostly coming out of this house. You know, I've got several things I'm operating.
We're actually here at night, and there's a spotlight.
Just blinding spotlight. I mean, first off, I do want to talk to you about something. You recently bought me dinner.
Oh, where'd you go, to Bob's or Swingers?
I was at Swingers.
Oh, good. That's my spot, too.
I love Swingers.
It used to be Bob's when I worked at Warner Brothers.
Oh, that makes sense.
Now it's Swingers because of Television City.
Because you're at Television City.
Yeah, well, not anymore, but...
Oh, right.
Just moved. I got to find a new place.
Swingers is terrific. And I should explain to the listener, I'm a television writer. We know this, but we're on strike. And you so lovingly are paying for writers' dinners and meals at these two terrific diners.
You know, I wish I would have thought it through.
Yeah, I'm very curious. I'm like, I really do want to know the logistics of this situation.
Because the last time, it was like 15 years ago, and I just kind of started at Price is Right, and I think I was still in the Guild at the time.
Okay.
So I was like, well, I can't walk the picket line because I'm working.
Right.
And I have to kind of come into work all the time. So I felt bad.
Sure.
And I thought the only thing I can really do to make up for it is might as well buy him lunch.
Right, right.
So I picked Bob's and Swingers because those are my two spots. And, you know, it got around a little bit and people were nice about it. And then this time I thought, well, I should do the same thing because if I don't, then I'm like a creep that doesn't follow through or something. I felt like social pressure to do it again. And it got on the news and spread all over Twitter. Twitter wasn't that big back then.
Of course, there were about 100 people on Twitter at that point.
And man, it's costing me an arm and a leg. But,
well, I should say I'm eating their breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'm going constantly.
I've had
about 50 meals on you.
What did you get at Swingers?
This is my typical order at Swingers. I get a stuffed grilled cheese without onions and tortilla soup.
Oh, those are great.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Dipping the sandwich in the soup.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. It's a really good diner.
It's a terrific diner. It's got a great vibe. Everyone there is so sweet.
Yeah. The service is great. Servers are great there. It's a good family
And it's just like a slight twist on a diner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's your order there?
In the morning, I get steak and eggs. Ooh. Or huevos rancheros.
Delicious.
Those are my two go-tos in the morning. At night, I'll get a club sandwich, usually turkey club sandwich or a burger. Tuna melts are great, but I only get those once in a while because there's so many calories.
Right, right.
And those.
Club sandwich. I mean, that's...
Can't go wrong.
You cannot go wrong. I mean, even at a horrible place, a club sandwich is usually decent.
Yeah, that's a good safe.
Right.
Yeah.
With a club sandwich, do you like the piece of bread in the middle, or do you like when they don't do the piece of bread in the middle?
It doesn't matter.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think I've recently taken a turn where the piece of bread in the middle is no longer for me. I need that. I feel like it's now too much.
Yeah, it's a little bit too much.
Yeah, or... It gets in the way of the things I'm actually liking in the sandwich.
Yeah, the bacon has to be crisp.
Yes.
Yeah, if it's not, that ruins it.
Right.
And so does the lettuce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want anything soggy because, I mean, there are a lot of kind of mildly wet ingredients in the sandwich.
Crunchy toast, crunchy bacon, crunchy lettuce, nice soft turkey.
Whatever texture you want turkey to be.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Are you a big diner person in general?
Always been a diner person. I used to work at a Denny's. That was one of my earlier jobs.
Were you a waiter at a Denny's or what were you doing?
I started out, it was on the Las Vegas Strip, and it's no longer there. That was my first Denny's job.
Wow.
And they're between the Westward Ho, which is no longer there, and Circus Circus, which is barely there.
Oh, that thing's barely hanging on.
Man, if you want to go for an adventure in Vegas, go to Circus Circus, man. And just... With a coupon book.
That thing, I mean, it's a miracle. It's really a miracle at this point. I think we can categorize it as a miracle.
You know, the real estate there is so expensive. They're probably just, every once in a while in LA too, you see like a property and you're like, why are they there?
Oh, yeah.
What's the point of that?
How are they? It's always like, maybe they've just got some sort of rent locked in or
yeah,
their mortgage.
It's the real estate. You just like, somebody owns it and they're like, the real estate's so valuable, they don't want to sell, but the property's no good. So who wants to buy it? And then you have this, you know, somebody's gonna have to buy that and tear it down. Right. It's like it's gonna be a big deal. So yeah, Circus Circus is hanging out. But there was a Denny's there, and I started out as a host, and it's just seating people. I worked third shift.
Wow.
11 to 7.
How long were you working at Denny's?
I never really had a job for more than a year or so before I was a comic.
Okay, right.
So I would, I would work at a place for, if I worked there a year, it was like, wow, I'm going to have a career.
That's a big thing
here.
For like a part-time-ish job.
Yeah, and I had a lot of those, you know, waiting tables and stuff. I don't know if you have
You're speaking my language.
Yeah.
I think before I was 25, I truly had 24 jobs.
I've
counted, you know, and it's
easy.
Like,
I got a job in Cleveland once as a busboy so I could make a car payment.
Oh, wow.
And I worked there for 2 weeks, got my check, made my payment, and I quit. And the guy was at Kenny King's. They sold Kentucky Fried Chicken, but in a diner.
Oh.
They had a license to sell the Kentucky Fried. So there was a Kentucky
what?
Fried
this
Chicken
is fascinating.
Place. Next. Yeah, there was like five of them in Cleveland area. And when the Colonel was first selling his chicken, he just was trying to find places that would sell it.
Right.
So this restaurant chain got the rights to sell Kentucky Fried Chicken. So there was a regular Kentucky Fried Chicken next door to all of them that you could go in and get a box or a bucket.
Right.
And then there was the diner where you could get, you know, eggs and stuff in the morning regular. And then in the afternoon, you could get a three-piece with mashed potatoes and a cup of coffee and then a piece of pie after and sit down in a booth.
This is like the original ghost kitchen sort of situation.
Kinda, yeah. It was great. Then we would get ordered chicken, and nobody ever in my family or in Cleveland ever said, let's get some KFC. They would say, you want to get some Kenny King's.
Wow.
And it was Kenny King's bucket. And I never knew about... I mean, I knew it was Kentucky Fried Chicken, but I thought that was the style of chicken they sold.
Right.
And it was just all Kenny King's to me growing up.
Wow.
Yeah, they're not around anymore, but the Kenny King's was great.
Wow, KFC in a classy environment.
Kind of.
A classier environment.
You know, I went to, speaking of, this is interesting, I went to Trinidad and Tobago once. You ever been there?
No, I haven't been.
It's great. I highly recommend it, especially around carnival season. So I was down there for carnival, and I went down there to see a U.S. men's soccer game. They were playing Trinidad, and it just happened to be carnival going on.
Okay, sure, sure.
And the game was on Wednesday, and Fat Tuesday was Tuesday, so it was like a lot going on.
Right.
And people would ask me, oh, are you down here for carnival? And I go, no, I'm here for the game. And they go, all right. And, you know, I have an American Express card, and they have a great travel department.
Okay.
And I tried to get a great broker for tickets and stuff, and I tried to get tickets to this game, and they said they weren't available. So American Express, you couldn't get a ticket broker to get your tickets to this men's team against Trinidad and Tobago World Cup qualifier. And they said they're only available at Kentucky Fried Chicken.
What?
Yeah. So KFC is so big down in Trinidad and Tobago, like the music, the popular music there is called Soca Music, S-O-C-A. And they name drop it in their songs.
What?
And there's Kentucky Fried Chickens everywhere. Like you don't hardly see a McDonald's. You don't hardly see any of that stuff, but you see millions of KFC. Like they love KFC down there in Trinidad. It's really like an odd
how fascinating
cultural thing. Like, and I was with my oldest brother, and Wednesday, this is Ash Wednesday's after Fat Tuesday.
Don't ask me. I'm ex-Mormon, so
oh well,
no Catholic knowledge for me.
Well, whatever the big day is after, I think it's
that'd
Ash be, Wednesday.
That makes sense
after
Fat logically.
Tuesday. Yeah, and so it was Wednesday. That was the game. So Wednesday we had let's go get something to eat. And we walked to the KFC, which was right nearby.
Right.
Right kind of downtown TNT. And so you've been to plenty of KFCs probably.
Oh, I've been to KFCs galore.
Yeah. So what do you see? Three people in front of you sometimes?
I mean, that's a big number for a KFC.
Yeah.
That's like a riot.
Usually there's somebody else there. And they get you right away.
Exactly.
The biggest wait is for the three-piece to get done or them to box it up.
Right.
There was two lines out the door.
What?
That's to get lunch.
Wild.
Out the door.
What?
And just a big line down the block. And when I went there the first time to get the tickets, like I got to the hotel,
uh-huh.
And I said, I got to get tickets to the game and I need a ride to the KFC. So I got a cab and stuff and I went to the KFC. Big line there. I had to wait. And I told the lady, I said, I want to get tickets to this game. She said, oh yeah, just a second. She brought out a seating chart and I got my tickets and I bought a three-piece.
That is fascinating.
It was really like the weirdest thing. And I thought it was like crazy, but there was a line. My brother and I were like laughing. We never saw anything like it.
Yeah, if I saw a line coming out of a KFC in LA, I would be calling the authorities or something. Yeah, like what is happening? Something's very wrong in Los Angeles right now.
Yeah, but that was just a regular lunch hour there.
Interesting. I need to get back to KFC.
Yeah, well, go to TNT because they love it there.
Fascinating.
Like culturally, that's
what's driving that? Maybe they were the first fast food place there.
I wasn't in town long enough to find out.
Somebody needs to do like a 9-part limited podcast series about KFC there.
It sounds like it should be a Vice documentary.
Right, exactly.
A half hour one. Nothing big.
We're not doing an hour
on
that.
No, we need a half hour of Vice to go down there and really investigate the ins and outs of why. And they name drop it in the songs and everything. It's crazy.
I think the last time I was at a KFC was actually in Malaysia, weirdly.
They're everywhere.
Yeah, they really are. And let's be honest, I got very sick. I got very sick from that KFC.
Oh,
so I'm warning the listener, if you're in Malaysia, avoid KFC.
Like a food poisoning thing?
Oh, yeah. Horrifying food poisoning.
Well, you know, people, like you always think like McDonald's is everywhere. Like that's
right.
The big thing in America. Oh, there's going to be McDonald's everywhere. But it's really KFC. Like I've been on USO trips to the Middle East and there's KFCs all over like Qatar and Kuwait. And all those places. KFC's everywhere.
I think fried chicken is a more internationally loved product.
Yeah.
I mean, like it feels like every country has their own spin on fried chicken. There's Korean fried chicken, you know, all sorts of things. And I mean, if I'm going to pick some sort of junk food, I would go fried chicken before I went hamburger. So maybe that's why.
Yeah, if you're going to do it.
And of course, the Colonel's so welcoming. We've got that big, strange face with the little bolo tie.
Yeah, I did. My one thing about KFC is it's so greasy.
Unbelievably greasy.
And oily. Because they deep fry it and then I don't know if they even shake the basket.
They just dump it in a bowl. It's just kind of swishing around in a bowl of grease.
At least McDonald's shakes the fries when they get done.
Exactly. Have the decency to shake the grease off my food before I eat it.
So I went, the Kenny Kings, the guy said I was going to, he goes, oh, you're quitting. You're doing so well. I was going to promote you and make you a fry cook. And I was like, sorry, man. I just wanted to make a, I was doing really well. I was a good busboy.
You would have been an incredible fry cook. You know how to shake the food off.
I already knew from my McDonald's days.
I mean, I do think going back to that Denny's, I mean, I don't know if it was that Denny's, but one of my earliest childhood memories is eating at a Denny's in Las Vegas, ordering the chicken strips. So there we go. It may have been the one on the strip.
They still have them.
Yeah, they've still
chicken
got
strips,
them.
Mozzarella sticks. They still have it.
Are you, have you, when was the last time you were at a Denny's?
It wasn't that long. I was on a road trip.
Okay.
So it wasn't like within the last 6 months or year.
And how was Denny's holding up? I haven't been to a Denny's. I go to diners pretty frequently, but
they're exactly the same. Nothing's changed. My go-to is the chicken noodle soup.
Okay.
Because they always have it.
Right, right.
When I was on my break at Denny's, it was easy to get.
Sure, sure.
I had a taste that I like, but this, it's like the, it tastes like Denny's. There's
tastes in the chicken, like Denny's.
Yeah, there's like an extra grill taste to the sandwiches there. Like you can taste the grill almost.
Interesting.
Did you ever notice that?
I have not noticed that.
Well, there is. Because they use the same grill for, and I'm like,
oh, right. So you're like tasting kind of almost like the bacon on your ham sandwich.
Kind of, yeah. It's right. Like, it's there's like a smell to a Denny's. Uh-huh. There's like a thing. Cause I, maybe because I worked there.
It's got, for I mean, so long. Sense memories, yeah.
Yeah. And it just, they're exactly the same. Nothing's changed. And I can see what everybody's doing. I'm like, uh-huh, I did that 30 years ago.
You're
like,
however a Denny's long, snob.
40 years ago, whatever long it was. I have to remember, when you get, I'm 65 now. And I just got my first senior discount. I was really bummed out.
Oh, congratulations. Let's put a pin in that. I want to know what that was for.
I was in Seattle just like 2 weekends ago for a soccer game. I own part of the Seattle Sounders. I'm a minority owner. And, they have an area by the Pike's Market that has like a Ferris wheel, big giant Ferris wheel.
Uh-huh.
And they have a ride that's kind of like Soarin', California, but it's about Washington State.
Ooh.
So you go in and it's called Wings Over Washington.
Okay, I like
so
that.
So it's just like Soarin', California.
Uh-huh. Which is a terrific ride.
Great ride. And it's just the seats are a little more comfortable and you move up into this IMAX screen and it's all these great scenic places in Washington State.
Right.
Where there's like a ton of them, like river rafting and bike riding and ocean and all
right,
that stuff.
Right, right.
And they had, I was buying tickets and they offered a senior discount. And I said, how old do you have to be? And she said, 65. And I went, well, I just turned 65. And I got on my ID and she barely looked at it, gave me the discount. And I was like, well, I was kind of bummed out, but I was like, if you're going to give me a discount, I'll take it.
Of course.
I mean, it doesn't matter how much ticket for me. It doesn't matter how much money you make.
No. If a discount is offered,
take it.
Go for it. Why wouldn't you?
I still put water in my shampoo to make it last. I don't know if you do that, but I'm sure everybody does. There's no way I'm giving Procter & Gamble an extra dime.
No. I mean, let's be honest, they're hurting. They can use every cent they can get. But
you know, I fell so for my whole life, all my teenage years and in my 20s, I fell for lather, rinse, repeat. And not going to do it anymore.
No, you've been scammed long enough.
Scammed long enough.
No, I even after buying the second thing of body wash or whatever, I leave the one that was basically empty and try to scrape every bit of the body wash out of it.
Yeah, you put a little water in it.
Yeah,
it
that thing will be there for months after it's basically used.
Can I ask, so you're a body wash person?
I'm a body wash person. Are you a bar of soap person?
Yeah.
Still,
why
Drew.
Why would you, body wash is like, seems wasteful to me and you need like 6-7 squirts to get a good suds. It just seems insane.
I'm using one. I have the, what I recently learned the official name of the one I bought is a Delicate Eco Poof, which is the little sponge thing.
I use like a Japanese, like the big like cloth that's kind of rough.
Oh, does it have like a wooden handle or something?
No. But it's like a sheet.
Oh, I'm not familiar with this.
Yeah, I forget what they call them, but it's like a sheet and it goes really good for your back. It's like this long.
Okay.
But it's like rough like a loofah on each side and it's just like some material and it's great for your back and everything. I just use that.
Right. And is it flexible like a towel?
Who wants a washcloth? Don't do it.
Yeah, washcloth.
Forget it.
I mean, I think we're all beyond a washcloth.
Yeah, no.
You just have a wet towel sitting in the shower?
Yeah,
No. That doesn't work. I mean, at hotels, occasionally, you kind of have to do that because what
hotel.
Else are you going to do?
Well, see, one of the reasons I'm interested in, I'm been traveling a lot, and all the hotels now have body wash.
Right.
Like all of them.
Yes.
And first of all, I don't have my glasses up. I have glaucoma in my left eye, and I got to have reading glasses in my pocket all the time. So when I get in the shower, I can't even see.
Oh, sure, sure.
They're not clearly marked shampoo, conditioner, body wash. So I'm like feeling around, or I have to go out outside of the shower and look. And then I have to get like 5 squirts of whatever cheap ass.
Yeah, those
body wash
are very wasteful at a hotel because you don't have the thing to pump it into. You're just
it's
running
through
your hands. Yeah, the washcloth. But I never remember to bring the washcloth into the shower with me. So I'm just spraying body wash all over the shower.
Oh, and you just gotta hand it?
Yeah.
Like you're in high school gym class.
Yes, exactly. Horrifying image. I mean, let's be very clear. There was no way I was getting naked in a shower in high school gym class.
No.
Avoided it at all costs.
Oh, you just go in there and, take it.
I was absolutely horrified to show my body to anyone for decades.
I'm like that now. I wasn't
retreated.
School. Yeah, I'm like that now. Like if I was at camp, I'd be the kid like dressing under the bed, under my sheets, beyond a minute.
Yeah, I mean, I'm now going to the Korean spa, Wee Spa in K-Town.
Oh, everybody's naked.
Yeah, everybody's completely naked. It's just like clothes on, people would be looking at you.
Right. They look at you weird if you have clothes on.
Yeah, it's almost like if you don't want people to look at you, go in naked.
Yeah.
But it took me a long time before I was mildly comfortable taking my shirt off in front of other people.
Oh, I can't forget it. Forget it. For our international listeners or anybody outside
international
of LA,
audience,
the Korean spas in LA are famously great.
They're incredible.
Like you get the best massage for the least amount of money.
So affordable.
Yeah. And it's just like they really like go all out. And it's kind of indescribable. It's forget going to a spa anywhere else.
No, why would you?
You get like the full, it's amazing.
Do you have a preferred one or is it any?
I did get massages when I'm traveling.
Oh, okay,
and I have a woman that comes to my house if I need something.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Yeah.
You got to get the hookup with somebody coming to your house.
I don't think
it's as good as the Korean spa though, from what I heard.
The Korean spa is great. And then it's the whole thing. It to me is better than going to Disneyland at this point. Just getting to just go in and relax, sit in the weird clay sauna thing.
Yeah,
fascinating.
Yeah. It's all that stuff. So speaking of Disneyland, because we were talking about fried chicken, Disneyland has the best fried chicken.
Really?
Ever.
Yeah. Where are you get? Is it at a specific place in Disneyland?
Yes.
Where?
The Plaza Inn.
Okay.
Which is their kind of like cafeteria restaurant that's at the top of Main Street by Walt's statue.
Yes, yes.
Right near the entrance of Tomorrowland.
Right.
There's a place called the Plaza Inn. You go there and you get a tray and it's like a cafeteria style. Then you get wait in line and order the fried chicken.
Uh-huh.
And it's the best fried chicken.
I had no idea.
Look on Yelp. It's like 4 stars plus. Yeah. It's a Walt's wife's recipe, I guess.
Oh, that's incredible.
And man, is it good with real mashed potatoes and green beans. And
that's great because at Disneyland, it's very hit or miss. You can end up with something that's like, is not good food.
I'm a Club 33 member.
Oh, you're kidding. How long have you been a member?
Like 20 years.
And what is that experience exactly?
So there's like a private club at Disneyland. Now, before California Adventure, Disneyland, you can't buy drinks or anything at Disneyland. Mm-hmm. But Club 33 was a place that Walt made so you could go and get a drink.
Right.
And there's a balcony to watch fireworks and stuff. And you can get a proper meal. It was like a fancy restaurant. And it still is fancy-ish.
Sure.
It's not going to win a Michelin star, but it's great.
Uh-huh.
But I also like the Napa Rose is a really good restaurant there, too. That's by the Grand Californian.
Okay. Oh, so that's in California Adventure.
Yeah, but,
okay.
You know, they're so easy to get to. Napa Rose is great. If you're not a Club 33 member, you get a proper nice dinner there with wine and everything.
Right.
And then there's like a great steakhouse. There's all kinds of good places to eat at Disneyland.
You should host a Disneyland travel show.
There's one of my crew members on The Price is Right, him and his wife. He and his wife. I just felt a rap on my knuckles. I don't know why. He and his wife don't do it. Disney blog, and they go to Disney like 4 times a week.
Whoa.
And they have to spend like an hour or two there because they like, here's the latest rides, here's the latest food, here's the what's shutting down, here's what's being built.
What?
And that's like half their living is this Disney.
That's now they're kind of prisoners to Disneyland.
Kind of, but they love it.
They must, of course. Or at least on the surface, they love it.
I mean, if you're into it, you're into it. You know, you go there all the time.
Yeah, but some people are very passionate about it.
Amazing food there. You just have to know where to look. And especially in like downtown Disney, there's so many good places.
Oh, sure, sure. Do you have a favorite ride at Disneyland?
Soarin' is one of them.
Incredible.
And then, I honestly like the music act, like the roving music acts.
Oh, right.
You know, the barbershop quartet.
I love a barbershop quartet.
The little
quartet.
Band that goes around. I love that stuff.
Where else are you going to see a barbershop quartet at this point?
Not at a barbershop.
Yeah, actually, you bring up a very good point. Were they originally singing in barbershops?
I have no idea how they got started.
Wow, you've cracked something open in a big way.
They're called barbershop quartets. Right. They have to have something to do
I've
with
always
it.
just let that be a thing. I never even questioned why that would be called a barbershop quartet.
Me neither.
Imagine a group of men in the barbershop just singing.
I had a rose. Yeah. Like in a Music Man.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Which in the movie, they were a real famous, the Buffalo Bills. That was a famous barbershop quartet.
And then they were acting as the Music Man barbershop quartet.
Yeah, they were the school board.
Oh, right. My boyfriend was in the Music Man at the Kennedy Center, and he was...
Who was he?
Something Squires. He was part of the barbershop quartet.
Oh,
like
wow.
The head of the school board or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, somebody needs to...
I want his credentials.
Speaking of on other podcasts, somebody needs to do one about barbershop quartets. We've got to get to the bottom
That's
of this.
That's a good topic.
Fascinating. Annalise is... I feel like Annalise is looking into it. Do you have some information, Annalise?
Yeah, so it refers more to the style of singing. I guess barbershop was a style of singing in the early 20th century.
Ooh.
It's like
it's
a cappella, but I guess it was a reference to 19th century barbershops in England and how they used to like have music playing for patrons.
Oh,
but I haven't quite found the connection between if there were actually people like doing four-part harmonies a cappella at a barbershop. That's
probably.
Yeah.
So in England, if you would go to a barbershop, it would be like a proper man stay out, right?
Yes.
You would get like a nice hot towel shave and a haircut and like really get
the hot towel
shave. That was like a man going to the spa, Dave. Right. They went to the barbershop.
You've got to go to an English barbershop. That's what they were talking about podcasts.
Yeah, they probably got
in
their
the
nails
1800s.
Done and everything while they were sitting there.
Okay, well, we have to talk about something else.
Sorry.
Drew, I know you. All you want to talk about is barbershop quartets.
One of the great things about this podcast is it's so free flowing, and I hate I used to hate going on. Not hate, but you know, when
use
you get,
the word you hated it.
No, I didn't hate it. I don't hate anything. But when you go on like a late night talk show, there's a guy that calls, a person that calls you, and they have to do a pre-interview, and they want to go over what you're going to discuss. And like when he asks you this question, you'll answer this.
Uh-huh.
And it's so put together. And I like to think that I could carry on a conversation with anybody. It's kind of what I do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And it really like rubbed me the wrong way. Like, dude, I'll get it. Don't worry about it.
Right.
Was it 7 minutes? I can carry on a conversation.
I'm a functioning adult. Yeah. I'll be able to think
of interesting
something.
Things that have happened to me. I can, you know, but they want to make sure you get the joke in.
Right.
Can I tell you a funny story?
Of course.
So there's a showbiz story. So I was on the Letterman. This is when I was on the Drew Carey show. So I was the first guest. And I came out and it was right before Christmas. So it was like holiday time and, you know, and the Ed Sullivan Theater. And Letterman was supposed to prompt me with a question.
Okay.
So I could get this funny story that I had out.
Right.
And he reworded the question. So it wasn't the one I was asking for. So I didn't have a really funny answer. I was just like, it was kind of like a blah answer. And then we went to commercial and I leaned over. He brings out a cigar during the commercial, smoking a cigar. And I go, man, I'm really sorry. I didn't get the question. He goes, I'm going to apologize for this audience. This audience is kind of nowhere. They're really dead tonight because it was holidays.
Right.
And whatever. And I go, I'm really sorry. I didn't, you know, get the question. And he has a cigar and he looks out into the audience away from me, like you're me. And he looks out and he goes, fuck it. Just fuck it.
That is incredible. That must be the best like little in between. You always wonder what the host and the guests are talking about in between commercials. This is the best story
they
possible.
Usually talk to the producer about the next segment or something. You're sitting there and a producer comes up and goes over cards with them and stuff. But he's all by himself with a cigar and he just looked out blank. Fuck it. Just fuck it. I was like, all right, fuck it. I'm with you.
Fascinating man. One of the most incredible, you know, people in comedy ever, but just fascinating.
Oh,
I interned there and it was such an experience.
You were an intern there?
Yeah.
What was that like?
Uh, It was both a dream come true and
a lot of work.
A lot of work and deeply stressful and depressing.
People don't know. I don't think people realize how stressful it is being a PA.
Oh, it's
all the way around.
It's wild work. There's, PA, because I also PA'd later, but the things asked of you are, all kinds of things.
Coffee, donuts, give me a copy.
Right.
It's all the grunt work nobody wants to do.
Yeah, exactly.
When you're running around, you have to know the building by like the back of your hand.
Uh-huh. And people are very creative with the things they ask you to do. So it's, and then in turn, you're also not getting paid.
No.
So it's just nonstop hell.
Do they still do that, unpaid interns?
No, I think in the last, like, probably the last 8 years, I think something has happened. Something shifted where they're either paying them or the programs have gone away or something like that. But I don't think that it's really possible to be an unpaid intern anymore. I don't know. Probably makes sense. It's a terrible job. But at Letterman, it was,
it's like where you're supposed to prove yourself that you can be a producer one day.
Look at me. I'm willing to eat all kinds of shit.
Yeah, you need, and plus, I tell people when they come to The Price is Right, like it's an important job when they're majoring in film or something.
Uh-huh.
When I talk to people in the audience, like, oh, well, there's your future. And I point to one of the red jackets. I go, you're going to be fetching coffee and standing in the back and seating people because they don't trust you with anything. Nobody cares about your student film.
No.
Nobody. They don't care about anything. They just want to know, if I give this person a task, can they do it?
Yes.
And that's showbiz producing all the way up to the top.
Yes.
That's exactly like, we need to shoot in Madagascar in May, and it has to be this, and the star wants this kind of hotel. And you have to be able to deliver, no questions, no drama.
Right.
And if you can't fetch a cup of coffee right, you're not going to make it.
No. And then the other percentage of it is, are you annoying?
Yes.
if you're not annoying and you can complete a task, you're on the path.
It's where they weed out all the annoying people.
Exactly.
There's that famous phrase in every business, I have no time for assholes.
Uh-huh.
You're an asshole, forget you. I can't deal with you.
And right.
Then you're done.
Right. And within the entertainment business, if you're going to be an asshole, you have to be the most talented person. And then you get to just be the most talented asshole.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're probably going to burn out pretty quickly.
When I was doing stand-up, there was a trend, like the headliners, you could be a really funny headliner and murder the crowd. And if you were that, you could be the biggest dickhead in the whole world, like coke addict, late, trashing your comedy condo and hitting on waitresses. You didn't care because he's funny.
Right.
And then when I would meet people that were like super nice to the wait staff and extra care, I would think to myself, I bet they're not that funny. Like before I saw them, I would think to myself, I bet they're not that funny. And that's a kind of rule of thumb that always worked out.
That's probably, up until probably the last 8 years, that was probably true.
You got to figure a way, like, how are they coming back to this club?
Right, exactly. Why are they allowed to be back here?
Yeah, are they nice? Okay, then I guess that's why, because they're such a nice person.
Right.
Or they're really nice or really funny.
Undeniably funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And funny is the best thing to be. They'll put up with anything.
Yeah, exactly. It's a superpower.
Yeah.
Well, look, you brought something today.
I did. And I got to say, this is my only nitpick with the show. Like, I know it's called I Said No Gifts.
Okay, interesting. You're coming in with a hot energy here.
But it really should be called I Insist You Bring a Gift.
I don't know what you're talking about, Drew. This is ridiculous. I don't know what you're...
I know the conceit of the show is that people bring a gift when you told them not to, and how could you be so disrespectful and rude? But then, when I first got the offer email, it was like, don't forget to bring your gift. And here's samples of other gifts that other guests have brought to give you an
idea. I don't
know
what you're talking
about.
And my
assistant was like, do you need any help getting your gift? Because I can go get it for you. I was like, no, I'll get my own. And then I've been so stressed about what stupid gift to bring. Because you feel like you have to be super clever because everybody's bringing like these clever, funny, ironic gifts that aren't gifts. And like, hipster thing. Like, it's crazy, this hipster idea of bringing a gift. So yeah, I got you a gift.
Okay, interesting.
Even though the show is called I Said No Gifts, but I know that's the conceit of the show. But honestly, you feel so, if I showed up with no gift and said, I said no gifts, you'd be like, what are we going to talk about for 10 minutes?
I would get my rifle.
Yeah. So here's your stupid gift.
Well, geez, Drew, this is very rude. You bring me a gift. This is...
It's actually pretty good.
It's very heavy.
Yeah.
Surprisingly heavy.
Get the top thing out first.
Okay, it's in a brown paper bag. I'm reaching in. So like, there's like a plastic thing. I should pull that out first. Oh, interesting.
Oh, shit, they fell over. Damn. Well, that's not my fault.
It's four cupcakes from
Bristol Farms,
which is a good, great. I just recently learned a very good bakery.
Great cupcakes.
They've got great cookies.
Yeah, they got good bakery all the way around.
Okay, so you brought cupcakes. Was there a particular reason? What was
reasoning? I was thinking about it. Like people bring you. Who was on last week that brought you the giant Coke bottle?
Fen Lily.
Yeah,
lovely.
So then you're stuck with a giant Coke bottle because I know what it's like. People bring me like t-shirts on The Price is Right.
Oh.
They'll wear a shirt that says Drew's Crew.
Right.
Or We Love Drew. And then they go, we got you an extra t-shirt.
Where are these t-shirts
going?
As
if I'm
going
to wear a shirt around
with your name
that says I love Drew. Like this guy. So I politely take the shirt and then I give it, I'd like, anybody want a shirt?
Right.
And I just give
you
them away.
You would have a warehouse of shirts at this point.
Oh man, I have so much stuff. And I'm not complaining. It's lovely.
Very sweet, of course.
And I feel guilty if I don't take it or hang on to it, you know, so I have all this stuff that people just brought me, like, here, we got you this thing. And you know, when I'm traveling, it's kind of a pain because then I go, I got to get this home. I can't toss it. Like I'm obligated to take it. So
the guilt.
I didn't want you to be stuck with a thing that you have to put in your house somewhere.
Right.
Or on a shelf and go like, well, I can't throw it away because where'd you get the giant Coke bottle? 20 years ago, I was doing this podcast. So I thought, cupcakes, you can enjoy them, throw the box away.
This is an incredibly thoughtful gift.
Yeah. And it doesn't have anything to do with my career or a talking point. I just thought, oh, this would be a nice thing to get somebody if you're going to their house. Like, it's like bringing donuts to a meeting.
Right. I really appreciate it. Should we eat donuts now? Cupcakes
I'm kind of off the carbs. But, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to take a little bite of one.
Please do.
I'm not going to. So Annalise, do you want some cupcake?
The box was turned sideways, yeah. So one of them got smushed and fell over. Sorry.
They look gorgeous. Oh, let's take a quick picture of these cupcakes for the.
If you buy them at Bristol Farms, they're much better looking.
I hope this is how they're selling. These are beautiful. Okay, I'm going to take just
they're my favorite cupcakes to get when I do get cupcakes at Bristol
just
Farms.
Eat these like a maniac because I'm holding a microphone. Oh, that's a very good cupcake.
Vanilla birthday cake kind of thing. Yeah.
That frosting's incredible.
It's great. Yeah.
Yeah, I just recently learned of their bakery. Somebody recommended the cookies, and I'm frequently great. Skeptical of a grocery store bakery.
No, not Bristol Farms.
Yeah, Bristol Farms, they really do it.
And then the main one.
Okay, should I pull another thing out
sure.
here?
Sure. This is the main one.
Oh, this is even heavier. Oh, my God. I've got to be very... Oh, my God, what is this? Oh, you brought me a Dom Perignon champagne.
Yeah, I bought your bottle of Dom.
This is incredible.
And this is for when the strike's over.
Oh, that's very sweet.
And good luck to you in the strike.
Thank you so
this
much.
Is like a wholehearted, like you, to celebrate the strike being over, stick it in your fridge. And then when the strike's over, you can pop this and you and your boyfriend can think of me.
Oh, that's so lovely. I mean, so we'll be opening it in 2028.
Yes. Or when you run out of money.
I'm going to sell this.
You can go out in style.
This will be the last thing I drink.
Yeah. You're like, oh, it was nice life while I had it.
Die in a gutter.
Yeah. Yeah. Either way.
This is a very nice combination, cupcakes and the champagne.
And if you want to, you can save the bottle.
Right. I mean, this is sort of a thing. I mean, speaking of holding on to things, like, I'm going to feel guilty opening this. It's a beautiful, beautiful gift.
No, I don't feel guilty. I'm a millionaire.
I feel like you really, I think money frequently goes to people who don't use it correctly. And I feel like you enjoy yourself and you're, you know, like this swingers thing's a good example.
I feel obligated to live my life well.
Sure, of course.
Because people live vicariously through celebrities all the time.
Uh-huh.
And they think like, if I had money, would I do that? Would I live like that? Or, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like I read some article in a tabloidish kind of thing or in the celebrity section of some newspaper, because I don't buy the tabloids. It was Matthew McConaughey. This is years ago. It's gotta be 20, 25 years ago. Got cops showed up at his house. His neighbors called. He was naked and high and playing bongos. And I guess he was making a lot of noise, so they called the cops and got in the tabloids that he was naked and high and playing the bongos. Uh-huh. And I was like, fuck yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Why else did he become this rich and famous?
Yeah. If I was Matthew McConaughey, That would be my average. I forget Netflix.
I'd be doing that at the mall.
Yeah. I was like, good for him.
Right. It's like getting a cheat code in a video game. Just do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself.
Enjoy yourself, Matthew McConaughey. You're Matthew McConaughey. If you're not naked playing the bongos, who's gonna?
Yeah, exactly. When you first like kind of hit it big, were you apprehensive about spending money, or was it like immediately like, let's go for it?
Well, part of the equation was that everybody knew that I was probably making money.
Right.
So it wasn't like some anonymous person coming into the diner or whatever. So when I first started doing like on the Tonight Show and stuff, I would tip $5 for a cup of coffee, which is a big tip.
That's a huge tip.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, you know, people know I'm a famous-ish comedian.
Yeah, exactly.
So I have to do something.
Right, right.
And then it got to be 20s. Then it was a 20. When I started making more money and people were aware that I was making more money, and I thought that was a big deal. Mm-hmm. And then I was, my friend Sam Simon, who's dead now, but he was one of my best friends.
He wrote for The Simpsons.
One of the creators of The Simpsons.
Yeah, creators.
And I would argue, and so would everybody else, that he was the driving force behind their early success. And I was talking to him one time, and he goes, how much do you tip? We were just chatting. And he goes, how much do you tip your limo drivers? Because it was a story about me taking a limo somewhere and how it was all new to me.
Sure.
And I was like, weird taking a limo, or like standing there like, where's my limo? And I was like laughing about this idea. And which is kind of, it is ridiculous.
Yeah, of course.
But when you're a normal person and all of a sudden they're sending a car and you're like, but that limo is late. So I go, how much do you tip your limo drivers? And I said, $20. And he goes, 20, you got to make it $50.
Right.
And I went, $50? That's exactly what I said, $50. And he goes, yeah. Then they don't drop a dime on you. They're nice.
You're buying their silence.
Yeah. And they say nice things about you. And you can relax and they're not going to, you know. $50.
Exactly.
And I go, yeah, but $50. And he looks at me and goes, hey, how much do you pay your publicist every month?
Right. And a publicist is not a cheap thing.
Yeah. And I said, you know, that makes sense. So I went right to 100.
Oh, incredible.
Because who carries 50s?
Right. I haven't seen a $50 bill in 30 years.
Two 20s and a 10. It looks like you scraped it together.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Which is one of my theories on tipping. I tip hundreds all the time now. Like, look, in my wallet. I have nothing but $100 bills.
Oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah, because I don't, 20s
How much do you tip your podcast producers?
I'll spend it all. There you go.
Drew is tipping on at least $100.
All the cupcakes you want.
I've just shamed Drew into tipping on at least.
Yeah, I always like tip hundreds if I get a glass of water at
a bar.
That's
so sweet. You're making people's day over and over.
Well, I got it's CBS's money, honestly. Since it's flowing down through me from CBS. But I'm overpaid.
I mean, yes, of course. A lot of people are overpaid, and they're not acting like you. You know, like they're just hoarding the money.
But you know, you get used to something, and I'm like. From being a waiter,
right,
for so long. And
when I was a waiter, when I would get a $10 bill from somebody, I'd be like, "Oh my God, what am I going to do with this money?"
But I don't know if you have the same. Like for cash, I would always think to myself, "Well, I'll just pick up an extra shift."
Oh yeah, of course.
There's that mentality of, "Oh, I'm a little short. I'll try to get an extra shift, or I'll try to sell some more dessert." It was always like working on commission.
Yes,
and I've always done that style of work since I was first getting jobs. You know, you just. Even as a busboy, stuff, you get a percentage.
Right, right.
Tip. So you're always like, okay, if I perform. And then when I got in a show business and comedy, same thing. If I was funny and I performed, I made more money.
You were getting more, right.
So to me, it's not like I'm just getting a salary and that's it. I can always make it up by, you know, I can sell. One day I'll be doing, reverse mortgage commercial. Or whatever, you know what I mean?
If you get to a point where you're able to make reverse mortgage commercials, you know you've really made it in life. Where
I
you're
really
like,
think so.
Yeah.
Like if I'm that guy, or if I'm Jeff Goldblum at apartments.com, I'm like, shit,
exactly.
I can afford $100. You know what I mean?
Because you know you've been successful for long enough for people to trust you.
Yeah.
And you're still alive.
Yeah.
It's so incredible.
I'm like, yeah, that's a way people make money when they're getting senior discounts, and it all adds up.
That's really wonderful. I think that's really nice because a lot of wealthy people are cheap still.
Well, because if you grow up and you think like, oh, I have to hang on to this because who knows, and it's going to go away.
And this sort of career will do that to you.
Yeah, because it always goes away. Mm-hmm. Except, I don't know. I think Price is Right. I'm pretty solid.
Yeah, you've been there for what?
Next season will be my 17th year.
That's incredible.
It's crazy. It's the longest I've ever had a job.
It seems like a fun job to have.
It's a great job.
Like the most fun you can hosting TV.
It's a perfect job for me because I love hanging out and I love meeting people. Uh-huh. I love chatting. So that's all I do. And I love playing games. So that's all I do.
Right.
And I love being in a spirit of play like all the time.
Right, right.
So that's all I get to do. And I, me and George Gray laugh all day long.
Oh, this sounds terrific.
And I laugh with the contestants all day long. So it's just laughing and playing games and seeing people in states of joy, or like you're like, oh my God, are they going to get it? And imagine if you were like playing Monopoly all day with friends, and
right,
that's
exactly
all you had to do for a living. That's kind of what I do. And then, you know, next weekend, let's play Risk instead. Let's do Scrabble next weekend. And you just change it up, but it's the same group and you get to laugh and a new player comes in. That's kind of like my living.
That's, I mean, a dream, an absolute dream.
Are you going to take that $100? Oh, we'll give it back.
Annalise has denied the $100.
Wow.
Annalise has got integrity.
It's a non-tipping job. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's real integrity. This podcast is at least one person involved with it has integrity.
Well, I watch you. I got your bottle of Dom.
Yes. I was almost, we tried to go to the Prices, a friend and I, the Prices Right in 2009. It was before I lived in LA. We came out here. We went to Six Flags. On a roller coaster, my friend's keys fell out of his pocket. We spent like the entire worst. Night standing in the Six Flags parking lot trying to get into the car.
Oh.
The next day was canceled. Didn't get to go to the Prices Right. Sat in a McDonald's in Silver Lake and then went home. Oh. So that was the closest I've ever come to Prices Right.
When I first moved here, friends would say once in a while, like, hey, we should do a game show or something while we're here, try to make some money. I remember one person, we should go do the Prices Right. And I go, what do you have to do? And he goes, well, you have to get there like at 6-7 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, fuck that.
Yeah, it's no, far too early.
I don't go to bed till 4. I'm not getting exactly. up at 6 to get to go to Prices Right. And
no,
sit.
I'd be in a horrible mood.
Yeah.
So you were never on the Prices Right prior to
No,
hosting.
And I kind of regret it.
Of course.
Because it's so much fun.
Like, it seems delightful.
Why didn't I do this? It seems, and I could have got, I might have been able to get on.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Like, who knows?
Fun personality.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, maybe I have to go back a couple times. Sometimes right. people have to come like 4 or 5 times before they finally get picked.
Has anybody ever been a guest twice or a contestant
yeah.
twice?
It used to be when I first started, the rule was once you were picked to come on down, you couldn't get picked again for the rest of your life.
Uh-huh.
So it would kill me because people would get their, they'd be the last one to come on down, they'd Oof. Get their big chance, and somebody would $1 them.
Oh, devastating.
And I'd be like, well,
oh, see your you one never. Chance.
Yeah, your one chance.
Fake
and then,
your death.
Like 5-6 years in, they changed it to once every 10 years.
Okay.
So now I'm getting people that were on with Bob and then they were on with me.
Wow.
Or they were on 10 years ago with me and then they come back.
Coming back with a vengeance.
Yeah, and like what happened to you last time? Well, I got to the showcase and I lost. And like, whoa, will they get to the showcase this time? Will they be able to make up for, you know?
Wow, that's determination.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because there's like, people that are the one guy was on he showed up like 60 some times.
Oh my God.
And he was in the audience, so he was I haven't seen him since COVID. Hopefully I see him back when we have a full audience back next uh-huh. season. Super nice guy, and he really sincere, really nice. He would come to every taping he could. He worked at a vendor at Dodger Stadium, and so he had a lot of free time
uh-huh.
during the day to come to the Prices Right. And he knew all the answers to all the, he knew every price.
Oh, wow.
And I would always take time to say hi to him because we had a lot of regulars that would come uh-huh. to the show. And he finally got picked and won a car.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. And
that
then
paid off.
And then COVID happened. And then I don't know whatever happened to him. I don't know if he's still working or if he.
Hopefully he's enjoying that car.
I hope so. And I hope he comes back just to visit.
Do you remember what kind of car it was?
No, I think it was a Chevy Malibu.
And that's a typical Price is Right car.
Yeah, that's like right in the wheelhouse.
Can walk away with a Malibu pretty frequently.
But, you know, like I was talking to Sam once and he was like, what's the difference? Like if an alien landed, like cars are so good now.
Mm-hmm.
Like if an alien landed, you'd have a hard time justifying that alien why this BMW is 5 times more expensive than the Chevy Malibu. Because
mm-hmm.
the Chevy Malibu has GPS. It has Sirius radio.
It's all kind of been flattened out. I mean, every car has incredible things in
it. Even
now.
Like a yeah, Toyota Camry, like they're great cars.
Yeah.
And they last forever and they're sound and nothing's going to go wrong with them. I used to make a joke about a Yugo because it was such a lemon to get. And there's no cars like that.
No, there's no car where you're just like, oh, it's going to be garbage and I'm going to hate it from the moment I buy it.
No, there's no like, oh, look out for this one.
Yes,
don't exactly. back this one up. You're going to set it on fire. Like nothing like that. They're all like, every car is like a pretty good car and everybody's just like nitpicking now.
Right. Yeah, you have to be a real snob to like have a problem with some sort of car.
Yeah, they're all great.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm never going to win a Malibu, but you know, that's life.
Well, we have, celebrity
you almost
prices, right?
I'm going to demand to be on the show. We have audio proof. I'm going to your producers. I will be spinning that wheel. Well,
you have to argue podcast audiences are so much bigger than like late night talk shows.
It's wild at this point.
Crazy.
Yeah, late night is.
If I was like Seth Meyers, I'd be worried about my job. But podcasting is like, if you're in the right wheelhouse,
it's the thing that everyone does now. I mean, everyone consumes.
I know so many people that I listen to one called The Hidden Brain all the time.
Oh, I love Hidden Brain.
Hidden Brain's great. And when I'm road tripping, it's podcast, audiobook. Mm-hmm. You know.
Right before I get on a plane, I do a panic like download of some podcasts.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Hidden Brain.
So entertaining. Hidden Brain is so good.
Yeah, I'm always learning.
Yeah, I like to.
Yeah. Well, I think we should play a game. I know we got to play a game.
Oh,
speaking
good.
Of
okay,
games.
Good. I'm enjoying this conversation.
Let's, I think we should play a game called Gift or a Curse.
What?
It's a game called Gift or a Curse. So I need a number between 1 and 10 from you.
Do I keep it myself?
No, you're going to tell me.
8.
Okay, I have to do some light calculating to get our game pieces. So right now you can recommend something, promote something, do whatever you want with the mic. I'll be right back.
By the way, in these games, when they say, would you rather this or this, my answer is quite often both.
Drew, you've got to pick. I'll explain
in
a moment.
When people tell me, oh, no, you got to pick one, I go, well, what if I want both? Like, marry, fuck, or kill? I want all three of them. I want to date all three of them. I don't want to kill anybody. I don't want to marry anybody. Can we just hang out?
I'm going to force you to pick.
Okay.
So I'll be right back.
Hey, marry, fuck, or kill? Like, why the hate? I don't get it. You kill anybody. Sometimes people aren't just for you. They'd be probably good to have over and play a board game with or just watch a movie. You don't have to. Those are three bad choices that you have to make.
Okay, Drew, this is how we play Gift or a Curse.
Okay.
I'm going to name three things. You're going to tell me if they're a gift or a curse and why, and then I'll tell you if you're right or wrong. There are correct answers. So you can lose big time.
All right, self-appointed gatekeeper with your gifts.
I'm the host here. I don't come to the prizes right and tell you how to spin the wheel.
No, you don't.
Okay, number one, this is from a listener named James. James has suggested, gift or a curse, bathrooms with no mirror.
Gift.
Why?
Well, you know, I've had weight problems up and down, and when I'm really feeling bad about myself, I've done this several times. In my life, I've put newspaper on all the mirrors.
Wow.
In my house.
Interesting.
Except for a little square so I can shave.
Okay.
So I don't have to look at my body when I get out of the shower. I don't have to deal with it.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Eat my cupcakes and be miserable.
Right.
And when I'm at a super low point, that's what I've done. But I've done it like, I don't know, like 4 times in my life.
But you look great.
I go up and down, yeah.
Up and down.
I quit. After Price is Right season was over, I quit like having a pint of ice cream every night.
Right, right.
All that stuff. And I was able to just like, it just drops off you once you, kind of crazy.
Interesting.
Yeah, so you don't eat a pint of ice cream every night.
It's a delicious thing to eat.
And I would eat, like, it's like something, it's like 2 pints.
Wow. Did you have a flavor?
Vanilla and chocolate.
Oh, interesting. Very simple.
Mix them up. I have to have just enough. I would get a small chocolate sometimes and a big vanilla because I just want a little bit of chocolate.
I like a good particular ice cream choice, you know, rather than just whatever. Like someone who has a plan with their ice cream, I like.
That's my plan. Yeah, a big thing of vanilla with a little bit of chocolate in it, and I also like the Häagen-Dazs bars.
Oh, of course,
with the almond.
Oh, delicious
milk chocolate.
Yes, they're incredible
because it's a little crunchy, and you get a little bit of chocolate in your vanilla.
The texture there is perfect.
Yeah,
although recently Haagen-Dazs has had some billboards that have been very confusing to me. They say that's Dawes, but they have the umlaut over the A in the that's, which is making me wonder, is that supposed to be pronounced that's Dawes? I feel like the marketing team didn't think through that.
That's some new guy.
It made me think, have I been mispronouncing Haagen-Dazs this whole time?
No, it's just some moron. I got a new plan for your marketing. New Coke. We're tired of the regular
New Dawes.
Coke. Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying gift.
Well, you know, because, yeah, like who needs it?
Right. Well, you want to look at your hair. You've got nice hair, but occasionally you want to be like, what's going on with my hair?
Yeah. All right. But it's not a curse, that's for sure. So, I mean, it's not like hooray, there's no mirrors, but it's also not, fuck, where's my mirror?
Drew, you're correct.
Thank you.
And this is why. When I go into a bathroom, there's no mirror. It is the most disorienting feeling. It feels like you've walked into kind of a little void, where it's like, because they're so commonplace in a bathroom.
Yeah.
When you're in one and you're washing your hands in the sink and just looking at a wall, very interesting experience.
Well, you know, because I've been road tripping lately a lot. Uh-huh. I've been in plenty of gas station bathrooms where there might as well not even be a mirror.
There might as well not even be a toilet.
It's all scratched out and graffitied over, and like you can barely see in it anyway. So, and you feel dirty looking in the mirror. So,
yeah, truck stop bathroom.
Truck stop bathrooms are great.
You think so?
No, they're great. I've
taken a Flying J.
Great. It's always super clean.
It's because the truckers have to go in there and use them.
Yeah, and then they're also great places to take a shower.
You've showered in a truck stop bathroom?
Yeah, many times. When I was doing stand-up comedy, I would
drive. Oh, that makes perfect sense.
Gig to gig.
Right.
And sometimes I remember the first time I tried it, I used to think it was like a community shower.
That's what I was going to ask you.
No, it's like you rent the bathroom of a Hampton Inn motel room.
Oh, interesting.
So you don't get the bed or the dresser, but you get the bathroom. So you walk in and there's a sink and a hair dryer and it's just been cleaned.
Do they provide towels? Soap?
Yeah, soap, towels.
Wow.
So you walk in, take your shower, leave the towels there, walk out, and somebody else cleans it up for the next person. And you're like, wow, that was lovely. And nobody else is around. You can take your time, and they charge you, but the turnover's great.
Oh, I'm also kind of tempted.
Also taking showers at a first-class lounge when I'm flying.
They offer those in the airport?
Yeah, in Heathrow Airport, when you're flying to London, if you have a layover to go someplace like South Africa or someplace where it's a super long flight,
right,
if you're
right.
in first class, they have showers in the lounge.
Oh, the dream.
So you bring a change of clothes with you because you just had an 8-hour flight and you have another 12-hour flight ahead of you. Just go in and take a shower, change your clothes.
That sounds amazing.
They're just as good as the truck stop ones.
That's good to know.
Yeah, if it's a brand name truck stop, don't worry about the showers. They're great.
Fascinating. And now I'm thinking about our truck drivers listening to this podcast. We've got to up the...
you must.
We've got to get some truck drivers listening to the podcast. Truck drivers,
they
reach out. Okay, you've gotten one so far.
Okay.
Very good. Number two, this is from somebody named Mariah. Gift or a curse, ice cube trays.
Gift.
Why?
Well, what if you don't have an ice maker in your... You got to get ice somewhere. You don't want to buy a bag of ice all the time. And then you can get ice cube trays that give you like different shapes and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like people sell like ones that are like weed
shapes. Oh, right. Yes.
And you know, whatever kind of weird shapes you want, you can get those just for parties.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, what's wrong with an ice cube tray?
How could I say they're a curse? They're a gift. You're right. I will say, and they're the ones I buy because I'm so unbelievably cheap. I buy the crappiest version, so they're cracking. They're hard to get the ice out of.
You can buy like a Tupperware one. I'd get a good one.
But the rubbery ones are kind of confusing for me. I always feel like I'm going to push all of the ice cubes out.
Imagine going to a party where there's cocktails and the host breaks out an old-fashioned metal tray with the lever. And cracks open some ice, you'd be like, what?
The dream.
You'd be so happy.
That would be incredible.
You'd be like, what the hell? Yeah, on the rocks. All my drinks are on the rocks tonight because I get this great ice that you just whipped out.
Yeah, ice cube trays. I don't feel like that's that divisive of an issue.
This is not even worth a discussion.
I know. I feel
honestly.
Like we're basically all on board. I don't know that anyone's ever had a really traumatic experience with an ice cube tray.
Yeah.
Mariah, I mean, but look. We've got to discuss everything. Everything
sure.
has to be discussed at some point.
Does it? Does it really?
Okay. Two out of two so far. Very
okay.
good. Finally, this last one is from somebody named Becca. Gift or a curse? writing a personal reminder on your hand or forearm in pen?
Probably a blessing.
And why?
You're not going to forget the thing you needed to write down right away. There's no paper around, but you got a pen. You got to write it somewhere.
Uh-huh.
I have a friend who's a writer, and she was writing a script. And I got into her car one time, and she had all these chalk notes in chalk all over her dashboard.
Whoa.
Because she would be driving, and she says, I get these ideas about the script. Well, she keeps the radio off.
Uh-huh.
And she just like, grab my chalk, and I write it down. She's right-handed, write it down on my thing. Then I
How big was the dashboard?
It was a Toyota Camry. It was like huge. It was like an old-fashioned this was in the 80s.
Oh, this
is an old-fashioned big dashboard. And she would, and, you know, dark charcoal or whatever. And she just write, you know, so-and-so kills this character. You know, what if
this is a very scary-looking car to me.
Yeah, it was weird. It'd be like, you go in and you're like, what the hell? And they're like just graffiti all over her dashboard. But then you could wash it off because it was chalk.
Wow, that's a really interesting. I mean, if I got an Uber with that on the dashboard, I would be exiting immediately.
And it doesn't happen anymore. And I don't know how old you are, but I remember like before cell phones and whatever, meeting someone in a bar and they would write their name on your hand.
That's pure romance.
As a, yes, we're going to do something.
Yeah, that to me is...
Make sure you call me.
People need to be doing that again. That seems so, I mean...
Yeah, now you just hand somebody your phone and right. They type in their thing.
Cold, lifeless thing.
Yeah, but if like, hey, I want to make sure you remember me.
That's incredible.
Here's my number on your fucking hand. There's no excuse for you not getting in touch with me.
Wow.
And that used to be such a hot thing.
Yeah,
when that happened, I'd be like, oh, this chick's down.
And then you smudge it on the steering wheel driving home and your life is ruined.
No, you'd be so careful with it.
Or you get to live with that mystery, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
I don't want to give this point to you, but I have to. I mean, I wrote on my hand, it is a gift. I wrote on my hand from probably third grade until the end of college. That there was no other way for me to remember anything.
It's better than no note.
Yeah, it's certainly better than no note. And it's the only way that you're, like, it's with you. It's just there with you. It's not in a notebook that vanishes.
Yeah. I mean, if you do it all the time and you...
Now you're shaming me.
And if you do it, like, every day and that's your to-do list on your arm, then I would say I would... Talk to your therapist about this. Carry a notebook or get an app.
Well, what I've graduated to is sending myself an email. Like if I put a load of laundry in that I know I'm going to forget, I immediately send myself an email that just says laundry. So then when I look at my inbox 3 hours later, I'm like, oh yeah, the laundry's still in there. I need to put it in the dryer.
Oh, that kind of stuff. I set a timer on my phone.
Oh, interesting.
Or my watch. I have a timer on my, I have a smartwatch. I set a timer on my watch.
But don't you worry. What if you leave the house and the timer goes off, you might forget
that you have laundry. Well, then if you're going to forget, what's the laundry? Is not going to disappear.
Well, this is what happens if you leave wet laundry in a washing machine for too long. Starts to grow mildew.
Then you just wash it again.
But the okay, Drew.
What are you stressing? We live like gods right now. I watched a lecture series about the French Revolution, and they covered like Louis the 15th and all that. I've been really amazingly into this period of France. And we live way better than Louis the 15th.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine? His life was garbage.
Garbage compared to what we like in the normal person.
Right.
Like, remember in old movies, they'd have like a rich, in a black and white movie, they have a rich couple like, Jeeves, get the car ready. I want to go into town. And you have to be rich and imagine a chauffeur there polishing the car and like, oh, I'm ready to go. And nowadays, you just tappity tap on your phone. And a guy comes up in a black SUV and whisks you off to wherever safely and with no pride. Doesn't even talk to you. If you don't, he said, don't talk to me. They won't talk to you. And I want the temperature cold. And they make the temperature cold.
Right.
And it's so great. I went to EDC this few weeks ago. Big electronic dance music festival in Vegas. And it just was like, Versailles had nothing on EDC.
I mean, it did have the gardens.
All right.
That's right. The one thing. The gardens were certainly better.
But honestly, me and you could drive to Huntington Gardens right now.
Right, and enjoy them.
Yeah.
$20. We're
open
wandering
to the
around.
Public, and you could just, to wander around. It's as good. I would argue it's right up there with kind of Versailles-ish
right,
gardens.
And gardens from around the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're not in risk of getting our heads chopped off.
No, we live like gods.
And, I mean, ice cube trays and... writing on our hands with pen, or
they didn't have ice like in
no, that was the ultimate luxury.
Yeah,
That's a, and also kind of a mystery how they did that.
Romans used to bring snow down from the mountains and store it. They would wrap it in like hay and stuff to keep it cold.
Oh, right.
And it would melt a little bit, but they would do their best. And they would have like, at a big fancy party, would have like ices.
Wow.
Like shaved ice with flavoring in it. And that would be a big deal. And but only rich people could afford it because they would literally cart the ice down from a mountain.
Right. Covered in hay.
Yeah. So they probably did that Louis the 15th time.
Mm-hmm, but Louis nobody else. Forget it.
Nobody. Yeah. Forget it. That they, you had to buy food every day.
Right.
If you were a regular person in Paris, mm-hmm. every day you'd have to go out and maybe the vegetables would last you a couple of days, but like
everything else is, you've got to eat it that night.
Yeah. You have to,
it's going to be covered in maggots.
Shop during the day, cook it at night. That's why the big meal was at dinner time. Because you'd need time to shop during the day. Yeah.
Drew, you won the game.
Oh, that's it?
You've won. You got 3 out of 3.
Do I get a message from Carl on my answering machine?
You get a Malibu. Bring it out. Bring out the Malibu.
I'm thinking, wait, don't tell me. Sorry.
We've got to answer a listener question. This is the final segment of the podcast. It's called I Said No Emails. People write into isaidnogifts@gmail.com. You know, basically unsolicited. People are very rude. They're filling up the inbox with questions and the problems in their lives, and they're depending on me and you to help them. Will you help me answer a listener question?
I will, but don't blame me. You should call this segment Don't Blame Me. I got all kinds of fixes for your podcast.
We'll talk off pod.
I insist on a gift.
It's going to be a whole new thing next week. This is Hi Bridger. My child's father and I are getting a very amicable divorce. Surprisingly, advice about what to gift in this situation is hard to find.
What to gift?
Oh, yeah, it's like what to give to the partner, the ex.
Got it. What do you get to keep?
Yeah, this person wants to give the ex a gift because the divorce was so lovely. Look.
Sure.
Everybody's got a situation. Yeah. This person wants to know what to gift in this situation, and it's kind of a hard thing to do. But I know you're the person to ask to get it right. Okay, that's very nice. Buttering me up. Besides paying off his student loans and leaving him with an 822 credit score, what is the appropriate token of appreciation to memorialize our parting? Thanks, and that's just from L. So L and the partner had...
There's no language barriers on this show, right?
No language barriers.
One last hate fuck.
That's a beautiful gift.
Put a bow on it. One for the road, you know.
Take this and your 822 credit score and get out of my house.
It's cheap enough, you know, not going to cost you anything but pride.
Yeah, you don't need to keep the receipt.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great idea. I mean, L has obviously turned this guy's life around in a huge way. I don't think that
Bring the best friend that he hit on to cause your divorce.
L, I mean,
no hard feelings.
This is a very clear answer. I mean, obviously, L picked up a project person, fixed him, and is sending him off on his way.
So they have a kid.
They do have a kid, and there's no details really about...
So this is a big thing with people that divorce and have a kid. Who gets who on whose birthday?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I have a friend that's divorced, and they're like, oh, I would love to see you, but... He has the daughter on because it's his birthday coming up, and I get her on my birthday, and it's all part of the agreement. So as a gift, it's like when you make like a romance cards for a partner, like, you know, a massage, a cookie dinner.
Oh, sure, like a little coupon thing.
Yeah, a little coupon thing. So I would get a coupon thing for sharing the kid. Like I will give you the kid an extra weekend.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Or an extra week, or you can have it on one birthday and, you know, a holiday and extra time with the child and a promise to be super forgiving and flexible when those kind of things come up. And I'll give you like three, you know, if conflict comes up, I'll give you three wins right off the bat.
Wow, you've really got a whole spectrum of gifts for this person then.
Yeah, and a bottle of Dom. You know, they say life's not just, you know, champagne and cupcakes, but I disagree.
For me personally, that's all it is.
It can be champagne and cupcakes. So it would be something like that. Like that's a thing that's really from the heart, would mean something.
Right.
you know.
Well, I mean, I don't know even know what to say. I want to start crying. That's such a sweet gift.
It is.
I mean, Elle wrote in on the right episode, I suppose. I mean, if it were up to me, if I was getting a divorce with somebody and I had improved their credit score in this way, I'd be like, that's it. That's all you're getting from me.
What else do you want?
Enjoy getting your next credit card.
Buy
whatever you want.
Yeah.
Well, Ella has received their answer then. We've done it perfectly.
I hope they're listening when this answer comes up.
I know. What if they don't? Oof.
Well, that's your problem.
Hopefully they're behind the wheel of their semi-truck and they're listening and getting their advice. Who knows?
Yeah.
Drew, you answered it perfectly. I'm taking credit here.
The ex-husband gets to pick the nickname for her new boyfriend.
Oh, that's another great gift. Good luck to everyone involved.
There's always a nickname.
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
Okay, well, look, I've got these cupcakes. I've got this gorgeous bottle of Dom.
For the one that strikes over.
I know. This is so...
I mean, you can drink it whenever you want.
No, I'm absolutely saving it.
But that was the intent behind it, is like, this will be a nice thing to celebrate the end of the strike.
Right. And hopefully the terms of the deal are good enough that... even if they're not, there will be a reason to drink.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
And I didn't know whatever your... DOC was, so I just brought champagne.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
I've had such a wonderful time with you here today.
I had a good time, too.
Just delightful, and I'll eat the cupcakes probably in the next 2 days. Those aren't going to last.
Yeah, put them in the fridge. If anybody ever falls out, let me know. I'll drive up here and do another podcast with you.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. Well, thank you for being here.
Yeah, pleasure.
Listener of the podcast, you can tell, as you've been listening to Drew and I, it's now over. The podcast is ending. No big surprise there for you. So move on with your day. I'm thrilled that you stuck with me again. I'm glad you're part of whatever I'm doing here.
It might be time to pull over and get some gas.
Yeah, exactly. I love you. Goodbye. I Said No Gifts is an Exactly Right production. It's produced by our dear friend Annalise Nelson, and it's beautifully mixed by Liana Squillaci. And we couldn't do it without our guest booker, Patrick Kottner. The theme song, of course, could only come from miracle worker Amy Mann. You must follow the show on Instagram at I Said No Gifts. I don't want to hear any excuses. That's where you get to see pictures of all these gorgeous gifts I'm getting. And don't you want to see pictures of the gifts?
I invited you here. Thought I made myself perfectly clear. When you're a guest in my home, you gotta come to me empty-handed. I said no gifts, your presence is presence enough. And I already had too much stuff. So how do you dare disobey?
Follow I Said No Gifts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. I really don't care. Just don't miss an episode. And if you like what you hear, rate and review the show. It's the least you can do. It really is. It's the bare minimum. Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase I Said No Gifts merch. What a wonderful way to support the show. Support the show!